I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we start this episode, I've sort of requested some airtime to just put over how great the WrestleTalk podcast is. You know, there's other podcasts out there, other wrestling podcasts.
And I like them all.
I like them all. I listen to some of them.
Going in Raw is a great podcast. Fightful, do great.
I listen to them, but I want to end my career here because you've got people like Lou Cohen. You've got people like Tempest. You've got people like Pete, and there's a few others as well. Sullivan walks around that he hasn't gone home for about a year.
No, we did an episode with TLC today where he did piss himself.
Yeah, right. That's one to look forward to. But yeah, I just want to put over the WrestleTalk podcast because, wow, there's a lot of negativity out there.
Negative BS on Twitter about WrestleTalk.
What amuses me is that being non-tribalistic has become a tribe. I feel like there are a group of people who, whenever tribalism kicks off between, you know, the various factions, another group of people start wading in and go, whoa, stop being so tribalistic. Being tribalistic's wrong. Only non-tribalistic people are superior. Just enjoy wrestling.
So it's the secret third camp.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I would say the fact that we get both AEW bias and WWE bias criticisms, I'd like to think we are.
Well, yeah.
We're not tribalistic.
Yeah, I think that's the argument that people often give about the BBC, the people on the left.
Everyone hates them.
Well, yeah, people on the left think they're too right-leaning, and people on the right think they're too left-leaning. So really, you'd think that means they're probably somewhere in the middle then. Mm.
Well, what we're talking about, of course, is Adam Cove spat on the desk. Disgusting. It wasn't just a little fleck. It had bubbles.
What's the word I'm after? It had, like, form to it?
Yeah, it had a shape. But we're talking about Adam Copeland's AEW promo that he kicked off this episode of Dynamite in the WrestleTalk podcast review of AEW Dynamite. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button, give us a subscribe, leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode, and send in your Omega chats to WrestleTalk.com/support while we're all celebrating the positivity and all collectively dunk on that Billy Gunn and Jay White segment. Because I don't care what Copeland says. I did not enjoy that.
I tell you what, nothing goes against Adam Copeland's words more than where the best wrestle than Billy Gunn beating Jay White via DQ.
Oh, you know what though? It's getting...
You're right.
It's hot. It's hot in here. All of this debate and stuff and just, you know, spring is turning. It's a bit warmer than usual. So just put on my t-shirt here, stripped down from the shirt. That's right, pipe bomb greater than math. Let's bring tribalism back. Let's bring tribalism for the pipe bomb. It's the best wrestling promo of all time. Link in the video description below, or the mods have it somewhere. Go show your support. Pipe bomb, CM Punk's pipe bomb, is the better wrestling promo. And show your support by buying a t-shirt.
Ollie, I've just got one question for you. Is it getting hot in here? Is it getting hot in here?
Don't do the hot in here bit too.
Because I'm here to tell you that Steiner Math is better than a pipe bomb.
No.
You can get my t-shirt using the links in the video description or by our moderating team.
This is visually confusing. Who are the Batman villains that are based on the Alice in Wonderland? It's the Mad Hatter's henchmen.
Yeah. So Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, and they've got just slightly backwards versions of each other's costumes.
Well, also, because we kind of look like the 60s Batman thing. They just had, where they had t-shirts that said Goon written on them. Yes.
Anyway, we've jabbered on for quite some time.
We have.
This episode of AEW Dynamite opened not in a match or a sort of storyline-driven thing, but Adam Copeland coming out, he got in the ring, and he effectively said all the things I said at the start of this podcast, but in relation to AEW. I was really excited that Brian Myers was going to interrupt him off of the back of Matt Cardona coming out on Collision.
You brought out the king of the indies. You might as well go one better with an even bigger draw in Brian
German
Myers.
German Dan's there like... I've written here, ironically got bad feedback on his microphone when he was cutting a promo about bad feedback.
Also came out without his belt, but ended the segment with his belt.
Where did it come from?
I'm going to guess it was handed to him by a ring crew.
Well, he was there not as a wrestler.
No.
He was there as Adam.
Yeah.
Your mate, Adam Copey.
Mm-hmm.
And Copey he was.
I've seen some people call this program coplaning.
So he sort of said, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there in wrestling right now, but wrestling right now is in a really great place, which it is. Mm-hmm. Two amazing companies now. You know, WWE's in a super hot period, and AEW got one of the best rosters in wrestling history. He says he watches it all. He's not knocking anyone else. But this is the most fun I've ever had in wrestling. I want to end my career here.
Mm-hmm.
And he celebrates everyone for creating AEW, from the Bucks, Kenny, Cody, looks into the camera, and Tony Khan.
Yeah. He said that AEW has pushed wrestling into being a better place. AEW does make pro wrestling better. And then he, down the barrel of the lens, their new catchphrase, where the best come to wrestle. Where the best wrestle.
Yeah. Not where the big boys come to play.
No. Look at the adjective.
It's where the best wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a best wrestle. That was a best wrestle talk.
Yeah, and that's their new thing.
And that was it. It was 5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. He then introduced Will Ospreay, who came out for a match. There was no interaction really between Copeland and him apart from a handshake.
Yeah, they shook hands. Like he wanted to make a point. It's like, look, there is a reason why I chose to sign with AEW. There's a reason why Will Ospreay chose to sign. There's a reason why Mercedes Moné decided. There's a reason why Okada decided to sign. It's because AEW is where the best wrestle. So kind of putting over, we've got all these new guys and girls coming in. And it is exciting. And the, you know, these are, those three names there were the top free agents of this year. And all of them did choose to sign with AEW.
I think you're saying one of the names wrong. I think it's Will Ospreay.
I didn't catch this, but I know you made a big thing of this in your news.
I didn't make a big thing. I just said to be, you know, it just made me laugh.
Will Ospreay.
Yeah, Will Ospreay. I misspeak all the time. So,
so does Scott Steiner, and yet he still does great promos.
What are your thoughts on this?
I'll be honest, a lot of my thoughts on this are overshadowed by how much I hated the Jay White Billy Gunn match. Like, really did.
Imagine that didn't happen.
It's all anyone has asked me about. Like, when I got into the office, people were just saying to me, I was like, what did you think of Adam Copeland's promo? What did you think? And I was like, I just want to talk about that Billy Gunn debacle. Like, that's all. My blood was boiling from that segment. So I actually kind of forgot that this had happened. But I kind of agree with the general consensus that has gone out about this promo, which is good promo, you know, a very nice, impassioned speech, a good response, but one that probably wasn't needed on television. I think Ibu of WrestlePure has summed this up best for me, which is that the better response would have just been open with that Will Ospreay match.
Oh, yeah.
And just have Will Ospreay and Powerhouse Hobbs go out there and have a great match. And that tells you this is what AEW is. Like, we don't need to acknowledge what was said. And I think you made the excellent point in your review of this on the WrestleTalk News, which is that what was the point of this promo? Because it's not like the anti-AEW crowd are suddenly going to go, oh, actually, do you know what? I think he's got a point. I think he might actually be onto something. And the pro-AEW crowd, who are already pro-AEW, are just going to go, yeah, he's right. Screw WWE. Even that wasn't exactly the point of the promo. Screw CM Punk. So kind of, I don't feel like it really had, it doesn't serve any masters and it doesn't really solve any problems either.
Yeah. And the crowd reaction in general wasn't super hot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like everyone was going, yeah, AEW. They did do an AEW chant.
They did do an AEW, yeah.
Okay, they did do an AEW chant. But I just... WWE didn't have the CM Punk comments on their show.
No, well, Dan said this on the Raw review just before we went live. He's like, they didn't feature. And I was like, why would they?
Yeah.
Out of the hour and a half podcast, 90% of it was dedicated to him dunking on the competition. Because that's what Errol Helwani has a hate boner for. And I was like, so of course they're not going to feature any of that. And then what's the rest of it? It's Vince stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you supposed to feature on Raw?
But it's like, it's not a WWE thing. It's an, you can connect dots, but just from pure perception, it was CM Punk on an MMA, slightly pro wrestling YouTube show. That from when I watched it on Wednesday morning, 2 days later, had 650,000 views, I think. Mm-hmm. It's probably trended up since then.
So, got a lot of news coverage from, like, you know, within the news, the wrestling news sphere.
And it was a big deal. But if that happened to me, and I've always thought WWE have taken the right stance in these sorts of things, and they early AEW did as well. Like, back in the Monday Night Wars, WCW always, like, referencing WWF on air, they were reading out results.
WWF did the same thing. Like, I think people often ignore this side of things, but WWF used to have skits against WCW.
Oh yeah, like they did the whole fake Razor.
Fake Razor and Fake Diesel less so, but they also had the billionaire Ted skits with the Nacho Man and the Huckster. Like they used to run these things. Jim Cornette had a weekly segment where he just went on TV to bury WCW.
Well, let's update it a bit to TNA. Mm-hmm. WWE did not reference TNA at all.
No.
TNA always referenced WWE to frame themselves as opposition. We are separate to them. Unfortunately, it's very much show, don't tell. Like how you described what Ibu said, that you should have just opened on the great match.
Yeah.
That is showing, not telling through the promo. And it's a refusal in war to play on the other guy's turf.
It's classic second place advertising, second place promotion. I've talked about this on the show before with regards to AEW, is that when you are in second place, you punch upwards. When you're in first place, you don't punch down. You just stay where you are and you just ignore what's going on. But when you're in second place, the best...
I disagree.
Pepsi did it with Coke. Burger King did it with McDonald's. For a while, Apple did it with Windows. They were punching up because that is a way to let people know that we have the superior product to get your name recognized. And so I get why you do this. I totally understand. But I think there's the perception of it is, and this certainly happened with TNA, is it makes you look low rent.
But AEW in the early days, the first 3 years, outside of Cody smashing a throne, the references to WWE were very minimal. And, you know, MJF promos.
Yeah. CM Punk saying you can go sign with WWE and be on night 3 of a buy one, get 6 free ticket thing.
And importantly, those are bits in angles, character-driven things. This felt like Adam Copeland or AEW telling him to come out and cut this promo. Wasn't connected to... We stepped out of... Here's your fun wrestling show. They devoted their wrestling show time to let's just step out of all the stuff you tune in to watch and let's talk about this interview that this guy who used to work here and now works for our competitor did. No, it wasn't on Raw or SmackDown or anything. It was on a YouTube channel show. We're just going to devote 5 minutes to not directly address it, but just say all this. I thought it comes off as cringe to me. I think it's well-intentioned. I don't think anyone was forced to go out there. I genuinely think a lot of people don't want negativity in wrestling. I don't either.
I don't. But that's one of the reasons why I got a Twitter.
But to then bring that up on the episode, I think it's only going to inflame things.
Of course it is.
And it's a waste of time.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to change anyone's mind. This promo is never going to change anyone's mind. And doing rah-rah speeches is not uncommon in wrestling. It's just that they're done backstage and they're done to the boys and girls in the locker room or done off camera things. One of the videos that has been going around from the show is that Dax did a similar promo during the Collision portion of this, because there was a double Dynamite and Collision taping. So after FTR's match with Top Flight, they did a promo that was very similar to Adam Copeland's promo. And Copeland was in the ring with them and he got the mic and he was like, we're going to go have some tequila. Now there's two more matches. Everyone stay hyped. And so these sort of promos are not uncommon in wrestling. They're just often not the first 5 minutes of a TV broadcast. So it's not about changing anyone's minds. So it made me think, and it's only really occurred to me like the last hour or so, is this less about the CM Punk thing? And it's actually about the releases. Hmm. And it's more a case of appealing to this AEW audience. Look, I know what Tony Khan has said in the past, where I'm not going to release people from their contracts. If you sign with me for 3 years, you're employed for 3 years. And there's now business changes within AEW, and we've just released 10 guys and girls from their contracts and are now without a job, which Eddie Kingston has had to talk about in interviews. I don't know if Tony Schiavone did. Most people just asked him about the CM Punk thing. So is it more a case of it's appealing to this AEW audience that might be going to be like, I want to support this company, but they just fired 10 people. And it's more about like, no, you know, guys, like, I know there's been a lot of negative BS about this company in the past week, but look at all this other great stuff that we're doing. And there's Will Ospreay. Sure, we've lost Slim J, but we've got Will Ospreay and Mercedes Moné. Is it more of a response to that than it is the Punk thing?
I hadn't thought about it because, to be honest, I forgot about the AEW releases.
Well, I think that's why they did it on that day.
They were like, Punk's going to release a podcast.
Well, exactly. I mean, look at the news day that we had when we had to cover that news. Mm. I wrote, like, so behind the scenes, we tried to write about 600 words for the news portion of the Tuesday episode when I review Raw. I'd written 1,000 words on just the Punk thing, and I hadn't even gotten to the Fightful Select report about it. It's why there was a bumper news. Mm. And I was messaging Pete being like, I've written 1,000 words. I haven't got to the Fightful Select stuff. Plus, I've not even talked about the AEW releases yet. And I'd said in the WrestleTalk podcast, I was like, this feels like they did this on this day. So kind of bury the news a little bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey
Well, let's see what everyone thinks in the Omega chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. Matt Hennessy says, that promo very much feels like Tony sent Copeland out there and said, defend my company. Feels like a rah-rah speech. If WWE did it, I'd call them tone deaf. The same goes for AEW. Just take the criticism and move on. You got to be thick-skinned in the industry. When one of your top stars criticizes you and you release talent on the same day after saying in past interviews you'll never release talent, you're going to just have to take the criticism and move on. I enjoy AEW. I enjoy WWE. As the kids would say, Trips and TK are cooking. But one of my biggest issues with Tony as a booker is he can't take constructive criticism. He has his rants on social media, and in doing so it makes him and the company by association look bad. I agree that Copeland's promo made them look like a number two. He means number two in the wrestling war, not a piece of poo.
I mean, he might have done. That's the other side of this as well, is that I don't know, and I don't think anyone really knows. The Adam Copeland's We Will Hear From Adam Copeland graphic was advertised quite late for this show. It's not something they advertised like a week ahead of time and then have pivoted to this. And the way that Copeland was talking about it in this segment, and the fact that he did a very similar promo later on in the show, off camera, and he said it in the promo himself, I requested this TV time, that maybe this was Adam Copeland wanted to go out there and do a rah-rah speech on TV.
If I'm the booker, I'm like, okay, I'm not opening with that. And if you're going out there, it's got to be to further a storyline or something. So have Penta... You kind of Penta interrupted me as a face. But, you know, there's a way to do this and not just make it feel like a cringe fest.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it's about working it into the show itself. Because, like, there's so much focus on the Punk thing, but Cody was on that same show, you know, a couple of days later, where it's like, I don't agree with CM Punk's assessment of AEW. It's not my experience with that company. And Helwani was asking Josh Barnett on MMA Hour today. I was like, what do you think of AEW? Mm-hmm. What are your experiences with them? Like, but Josh Barnett was like, yeah, it's great. Yeah. I enjoyed working with them.
And Punk said a lot of nice stuff if you listen to the interview. And also, I think a lot of people can take Punk with a pinch of salt. I'm not here thinking everything he said is 100%. I'm sure it's true to him.
Cool. But, well, that's it. It is true to him.
Jared Hazelwood says, AEW was in a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation. If they didn't acknowledge the interview, then they'd be accused of pretending nothing happened. If they acknowledge it, it's damage control. Considering that, I thought they did okay.
I don't think they would have been accused of... There would have been some bad faith takes that they didn't address it, but those would have been bad faith takes.
Yeah. Andy Sandbox. Morning, gents. My initial gut feeling was positive and still is about Adam's promo. I'm taking everything he said at face value. He had the freedom to ask for this time. This is him speaking from the heart. And he is calling out something that I think AEW is allowed to address however they wanted. I don't look at AEW as just AEW, but a company that lives and breathes with the ebbs and flows of the pro wrestling world. And as much as I dislike CM Punk these days, he is one of the loudest voices and biggest names there can be in that wrestling world. He also carries with him an insane amount of negativity that still impacts the company. I mean, here we are. I understand that people don't think they need to address it on live television, but I'm at least watching people speak their honest mind and are given the freedom to do so. WrestleMania weekend, I'm still more excited about Dynasty. That's the type of fan I am, so maybe this promo was for me. What I think was for nobody, and we can agree unanimously, was that Billy Gunn and Jay White match. Holy S-word. I pray for John Moxley shenanigans outside the ring now in every match after watching Billy just not wrestle in the ring for like 10 minutes. Referee discretion can only be used to a degree.
Yeah, we'll get to that bit in a moment here.
In a world where we don't get many bad wrestling matches anymore, it's a contest. I think it will feature.
I've written it down to be in my nominations at the end of the year.
It's currently the most annoyed I've been in a wrestling match all year.
In 2024, I've not written in all caps negatively about a match.
I started writing the word stop. It's like I was being tapped out. No, stop now, please. Hector Rodriguez, member for 26 months in a row. Was it needed? No. Was it entertaining? Damn right it was. Were the AEW releases unnecessary? You bet your candy backside because people lost their jobs. I didn't find it entertaining. Fresh Avocado says, playing Devil's Avocado. It's a Luke phrase. After a week...
It's a Daredevil phrase. I think it's from the Netflix Daredevil show.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I think that's where I got it from.
After a week where people said your boss wasn't a boss, the company you work for is a joke, and your best wrestler needed to learn psychology from RKO, Randy Keith Orton, I didn't mind it. I think it was the wrong messenger, but Mox is in Japan.
Yeah, that's the other criticism I have seen is that, like, why is it the ex-WWE guy that's doing that that's only been there for 5 months, as opposed to someone who's been there from day one?
Yeah. Or like Jericho.
Yeah, send Jericho out there to do that. That actually would have been a great idea. Yeah,
just changed all the meaning when he's saying, look, there's a lot of negativity in wrestling, right? And it could, that could be his new heel character.
For once, it's not about me.
Imagine if his new heel character, he could have done, oh my God, this is such a good idea, where he thinks everyone loves him, but it's just the tribalism in wrestling. Not Rob says, if you had to have had this promo happen, Copeland is the wrong one to deliver it. Also, why the rankings are a thing, Mercedes can just say, I've got next. Yeah, does this also mean she's not wrestling till Double or Nothing? That is not good if so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on both those points, not yeah. Rob.
Brett J. Rasmussen, I didn't mind the rah-rah speech that Copeland cut on AEW, but I do see that it wasn't really needed. I was wondering if you two have seen both the Punk and Cody interview with Helwani, and what are your opinions on what was said? Cody's was fascinating.
I kind of gave my thoughts on the Punk one on the Raw podcast, which is kind of like you said earlier, there's always a nugget of truth within a CM Punk thing that is 100% truth to him. I think the most fascinating thing about it sort of in the days that have followed was the Fightful Select report that came out about it, which is that the thing that people were kind of pissed off about with the Punk situation is that his biggest criticism of AEW was the wrestlers talk to journalists, and yet he was the one who leaked the Jack Perry story to wrestling journalists, like, ironically, Nick Houseman and John Ross Sapp, to kind of get his side of the story out. And he'd be a wrestle purist. This is a really fun nugget to this, is the one thing Punk never says about the Jack Perry stories, according to him, of course, the one thing he never says in that is that when he confronted Jack Perry about it and told him not to do it, Jack Perry said, okay, fine.
He did say that on the interview.
What he said was, I told him, you don't do this on Saturdays, you do this on Wednesdays. And then everything happened after that. But apparently, according to me, Jack Perry was like, okay, fine. And he moved on with it.
It was Sunday, you're right.
And it was only until that it became a story that Punk leaked that it became an issue.
My take is, I don't think choking someone out is behaving responsibly. And if you think that's a responsible or adequate measure in a workplace, even one that's based on simulated combat, it does make me, you know, doubt your judgment on many other things.
Yeah.
Punk but for life, though.
Here is what I would say, though, like, on it. Punk is clearly happier now.
Yeah, and I think, for now. Yeah, Punk is clearly happier for now.
I know. I think
what you said, right?
He is happier now. I think he's having a good time in WWE. It seems like a much nicer, a better place for him mentally, and that can be nothing but a good thing. And I thought that, and this is also from the Fightful Select report, he clearly didn't want to talk about it for as long as he did, but Helwani kept asking him questions. The Fightful Select report was like, he didn't really want to talk about it, but knew he had to. And every other interview that people have done, like Cody's interview or Eddie's interview or Shivani's interview where he did on his podcast and stuff, everyone's reaction to it has just been like, I just want to move on. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sick of talking about this. Can we just move on? But, you know, people are still trying to bring this up to be like, well, what do you think? What do you think?
I want more shoot interviews. Megatrain 84, Copeland responding to Punk was absolutely worth the time. I don't know why Punk's given a he's making some good points pass for his whining, but the moment AEW responds, it's why did they respond? Well, it's, you know, it's proving you're the bigger entity that can rise above little sniping comments like that. And CK says, I am naive. I saw this as a company finally calling out general negativity in wrestling because there is too much. I've seen so much cynicism towards this instead of seeing it as a plus. He literally told folk to not boo WWF and also boosted his own work. Well, yeah, we're not disagreeing with that sentiment.
Yeah.
It's just the positioning, the framing, the presentation, how it comes across to me. That isn't, even though that's what's being said, that isn't the way it's been received.
Yes. Correction on my part as well, because I'm seeing the live chat there and it was something you said as well, so I apologize. Punk did say, Jack said, okay. The point then I was following up on that with, and the bit I think I've not quite connected particularly well when I was talking about this, is it then became, it was a non-story from that point onwards until Punk put it out to the media, and then it became a story.
And we've gone quite over time with Punk just takes up all of our time anyway, so we'll have to rattle through the play-by-play recount of Dynamite. We'll go as quickly as we can through the Billy Gunn match.
Oh, no, we can't.
But before we do that, please go over to wrestletalk.com/WrestleLeague. What's the URL?
Oh, I think it's wrestleleague.com.
Wrestleleague.com, then. The link's in the video description below. Wrestle League predictions, WrestleMania 40, Night 1 and 2, and NXT Stand and Deliver. All of those are live now on your Wrestle League accounts. If you're not a Wrestle League player, it's a Fantasy Predictions League, where we all partake in predictions over the course of 3 months, and then the person with the most overall pay-per-view correct picks wins prizes. Just everyone who's asking about the ladder match, the way it's set up, Wrestle League, it's really difficult to not to make that okay in the weighted thing. So we've made the decision just to not have that on the card. Yeah. So that's why. Right, this episode of AEW Dynamite, after the Copeland opening promo, had Will Ospreay versus Powerhouse Hobbs in a Don Callis Championship Wrestling match, where the best wrestled the best.
Mm-hmm.
And a great match of speed versus power.
I loved this match. I thought this match was awesome. I thought that Will was great. I thought it was a great showing for Hobbs. I have kind of no faith that there'll be much follow-up to that, because I've seen a lot of Hobbs great matches with not a lot of follow-up to them. But there was a lot of spots that I really enjoyed. I loved when he was just slamming him onto the apron, when he did the suplex onto the stairs. I thought was really cool, like walking around with him and then powering him down. There was a great moment when Will was doing the chop exchange, or almost inviting Hobbs into doing the chop exchange with him, and Hobbs just kept getting into his face to be like, "Hit me harder." And Will was sort of get back and back. And then at one point, Will slapped Hobbs across the face and then had a look of a naughty school child on his face, like, "Oh, I've made a mistake." I thought it was really good. I thought that Will was great.
As always. Yeah. For me, it's the least best of the DCCW matches, but it was still really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And Will won with the Hidden Blade.
Sure did.
So Will has now beaten Fletcher, Takeshita, and Hobbs. And then Hobbs sort of got in Will's face in the post-match, and Don Callis had to separate them. Will didn't seem too fazed by that. He did a ship's passing in the night angle with Bryan Danielson, who was walking down the ramp for his match. So where do you think this takes the Don Callis family?
I think this is Callis's plan falling apart around him. His whole thing of like, oh no, the best want to wrestle the best, and they just want to be the best, and they're going to, you know, face each other. And I get upon the great matches that we have here. It's now starting to fall apart because wrestlers are competitive, and his wrestlers are competitive. And now there's three of them that have taken L's to Will, and that's going to build some frustration and animosity within the group.
Well, if Don, I sort of saw the Don Callis family as more of this pack of dogs, and Don is the sort of abusive, toxic father figure. And Will is now the alpha. Although Takeshita's called the alpha, right?
He is, yeah.
So for me, Will should be Don's golden child, like Nick Wayne is for Christian.
Yeah.
And then the other three sort of know their place now. I've been beaten by the star of the group. I'd like to see them be a cohesive faction for a bit, coming out together in full force.
Yeah, I just don't think that Will's part of this group for much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, he still has to beat Sammy Guevara first. But, you know.
Is he in the group?
He got kicked out of the group, but he's still in the Titantron, I think.
Mm. Is he really?
Yeah, it was like a couple of weeks after he'd been kicked out, because they have that where it's the Last Supper painting, and Guevara's part of that painting.
I get the point, by the way, that Will is this mega baby face. How does he fit in with the Callis family? I agree, but they have made him part of that faction when they could have easily written him out. So at least tell that bit of the story for me.
Well, I think that's what we're getting to.
Danielson then took on Lance Archer. I love Lance Archer. he used the person as a weapon.
Yeah, but that was a fun spot. And it's kind of nice as well because last week, or over the last couple of weeks, they've both beaten Shibata. So now it's Will versus a big guy and it's Danielson versus a big guy. And they both get wins over big guys. They're both doing exactly what the other can do as we build towards them finally colliding at Duck Dynasty.
And while Hobbs and Ospreay went back and forth, I would say, Archer took 80% of this match.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's getting out of rope. He's getting out of the lapel lock and stuff. And it was only the end where Danielson hit one knee. But even then, Archer's getting to his feet. Kick to the head, kick to the head, kick to the head. Then another knee. And that's what got him the win. Yeah. I really like the finish.
Good match.
Jericho had an up next graphic on screen. And it got booed.
Boo!
And I thought, well, the last couple of weeks, they've had his interview bits take place backstage to sort of control the level of booing he'd get. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to slowly get closer and closer to the ring over the next month. Because now he's on top of the stage mm-hmm. with Renee, and Renee's interviewing him. He's the Lionheart all the time as well.
Yeah, because he's reverting back to his 90s form. Because that's what he was when he was in ECW
right.
with Taz.
Not because, oh no, you're booing the old Chris Jericho.
When I bring back Judas, you're all going to cheer again.
And he's talking about how he wants to shoot a hook or whatever. This brings out Hook, and Hook says, look, you've turned on loads of people. Jericho's like, yeah, I've pushed away everyone I've ever loved, but I believe in you. And... yeah, Hook's like, well, we've got a tag match this week.
Yeah, Hook said, and I believe in you too, which is why I've got us a tag match for Collision. And then the next promo segment, we found out that was going to be against Shane Taylor Promotions.
So Hook isn't dumb. He's got his eyes wide open here. And, you know, there's an argument that he can use Jericho to elevate himself, kayfabe-wise, mm-hmm. as opposed to what Jericho seems to do the other way around. Mm-hmm. Jericho was more charismatic as well. His recent backstage interviews have been... seemed bored, and at least he showed some personality here. But this isn't working.
Yeah, it's not working. But it's getting a lot of TV time dedicated to it.
But Hook, at the start of this year, was one of the hottest acts in the company.
So why do you think Chris Jericho attached himself to him?
Honestly, that Samoa Joe Hook match is top five of the year for me.
Yeah, and it feels like a distant memory at this point.
So that's an example of bad booking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane Taylor. Oh, so it was a rough 20 minutes because up next came Jay White versus Billy Gunn, which started awesomely. Jay White doing the Bullet Club Gold entrance, the coolest entrance in wrestling, but it's a singles match. The Guns and the Acclaimed are banned from ringside, so it's only Jay White in the spotlight. Camera goes all the way around him. There's nobody else there. And then it goes to the front of him and Billy Gunn is standing behind him. And that's where they start the brawl.
And
excellent.
He did the brawl and attacked him at the entrance because they did a home invasion angle last week.
Yeah, on Rampage.
Yeah. So this was to be like, you know, Billy Gunn's looking to get his revenge on Jay White for breaking into his home.
Oh, and he got his revenge, didn't he?
So here is how this match went. Billy Gunn beat up Jay White around the ring. He then beat them up in the ring. He then beat him up out of the ring. At one point, I assumed that it was quite slow and plodding. We must be in picture-in-picture. And then Excalibur said, we'll stick with this action in picture-in-picture. And I was like, oh my God, we haven't even got to the rest holds yet. And then he beat him up some more. And then he beat him up in the ring. And then he beat him up outside the ring. And then he reversed the Blade Runner. Mm. Jay White got no offense in. He reversed Jay White's only bit of offense in the Blade Runner and hit the one and only. He then hit a Famouser. He then hit a second. He signals for a third. Instead goes out to get a chair. The Guns run down to protect Jay White. And then Jay White, in all of this madness, low-blowed Billy Gunn and got DQ'd.
Right in front of the referee.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the Guns are distracting the referee. Jay White low-blow. Blade Runner, he gets the win. And like, well, I still hated the match, but I guess Jay White got a win.
Jay won.
And then you think, well, that's... But they'll stand tall afterwards. There's 3-on-1 here. They'll all beat down Billy Gunn. No, Acclaimed run down immediately. They all beat up Bullet Club Gold. They go to put Jay White through the announce table, but the Guns save Jay White and run away with him.
At one point during this match, the Titantron shows, I think it was the guns laid out backstage, and this distraction just made Billy Gunn get more offense.
I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's the point where Billy Gunn looks up.
Yep. No. Billy Gunn just controlled 100% of this match and then still won via DQ.
So AEW, their new tagline, is legit, I would say. It's where the best wrestle. And it is very rare that you get even an average match on TV or pay-per-view. So this, which was a bad match, I wouldn't say it was badly worked, but it was definitely badly booked. It felt like a 10-minute, never-ending long angle. And it felt like a burial of Jay White. I'm not saying they did bury Jay White. I don't think he's done anything wrong. I don't think there's a backstage thing. But sort of character-wise, booking-wise, to get the wrestler over, this was abysmal, and I absolutely hated it.
Yeah, I don't think there are many matches that someone's reaction to this online would be, who did Jay stooge off backstage to like get put in this position? Did Jay go up to Tony Khan and be like, I think that punk's got a point, actually, and then got booked into this position? We don't swear on this show much.
Don't do it now. And I'll say fluff.
And I'll apologize.
Take a Willow Nightingale. don't swear. Don't swear. Well, say fluff.
Do you know what? My dad would always say, it's not big and it's not clever. So you're right. But what the fluff was this?
What the fluff was this?
Like, what was this? This was appalling. This is among the worst. I'd say this is the worst wrestling booking on either promotion in all of 2024.
Well, as a match, because Undisputed Kingdom.
No, I think it's worse than Undisputed Kingdom.
Well, I guess if you extrapolate this out for this whole storyline.
Yeah.
Which I just presumed was about getting Jay White more over.
You'd think. I have no idea what they were thinking with this match. And I'm the guy as well, because I know some people might bring this up, but I'm the guy that defended the Darby Allin match. Mm. And I will defend that Darby Allin match. I know a lot of people took issue with it, but people are like, why did he kick out the coffin drop? I was like, because it was Darby's first offensive move in the match.
Then that's Billy Gunn. Yes, yeah. Darby Allin.
And then he hit two more, and then he got the win. So, of course, Billy Gunn kicked out of the coffin drop. So I will defend that, but there's no defending this. This was absolute garbage.
The Jacksons are shown arriving backstage in a limo, and the best friends were shown being dropped off by Trent's mum, Sue. Very nice visual contrast.
As soon as Sue showed up, I was like, man, this group's splitting up. Just brought out Sue for one last time.
Chaos member, Sue. Then Willow Nightingale had... I've seen some people not like this, but I don't know. Maybe I didn't like it the other week, but for whatever reason, I liked it now. Renee Paquette was on the stage, but with the crowd behind her. I tell you what I didn't like a couple of weeks ago. It was Renee on the ramp talking over Eddie Kingston's entrance.
Yes.
That's what I didn't like. So this I'm consistent.
I like that one.
I didn't. So she brings out Willow and Stokely and Chris, and Willow Nightingale cuts a great promo for her character.
Yeah.
And this is where she says that she's feeling mother fluffing great.
Yeah.
So I've wholesome. Never heard of Mother Fluffy.
She was so wonderfully wholesome. She talked about how she didn't think someone like her would get over in the wrestling business. And she put over like quite a few local places. Mm. And she was getting great reactions to all of this. Because, she's putting over local places. Like, hey, the Arby's down the road. And everyone sort of cheers and stuff. But I thought it was great. It really put her over as a big star heading towards her match with Julia Hart.
And then CEO. So Monet comes out as well, and she's doing a thing everywhere. And she says, well, whoever wins the TBS title, I get next. And I wrote, well, yeah, I figured that. And then she says, I can't remember the exact line, but it was something about Las Vegas. The insinuation being she will fight for the TBS title at Double or Nothing in Las Vegas, which is 2.5 months after her debut.
Yeah, she did say Double or Nothing is when I will face the winner of that match for the TBS championship.
A lot of people are concerned that that will be her first match.
I think it will be.
But we don't know that for sure.
No, we don't. We don't know that for sure. But I mean, I'm looking at the past 4 weeks and I would say that's her first match.
I would, if I had to place a bet, which Double or Nothing's all about, I would agree with you. But I'm just hoping to be proved wrong. And that, yeah, she's going to have a match at the pay-per-view. Chris Statlander is what Tempest proposed last week.
I thought this while I was brushing my teeth this morning. I was like, why isn't Mercedes just having a match with Statlander at Dynasty?
Statlander!
I was like, why isn't she wrestling at Dynasty? And I was like, oh, a match with Statlander's right there.
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot of sense to me.
And also, I don't want Willow to win the belt from Julia to then defend it against Monet.
Yeah.
I keep saying, and I'm sorry if I'm flogging an old idea. She is the closest thing to NXT Bayley I've seen since NXT Bayley. Mm-hmm. And you literally have Sasha Banks. I just don't. First, still Mercedes still isn't doing anything for me
well,
in this current role.
<She's>,
did you like my title last week?
Monet Talks.
Monet Talks.
Very good, mate.
That's it. And, I mean, even when she talks, she's not really saying anything of substance. Yeah, we've got an announcement that she'll have a match. But, you know, I kind of figured that. And if anything, I figured it would be maybe earlier.
Yeah.
So, this is another storyline and some characters that feel stuck in limbo. Although the women's division is getting more focus, and I think Willow is rising.
Yes. Yeah, I think there are ships are rising upon this tide. So there is positives to be taken from this. Monet not doing much of anything since her debut, I don't think is the best use of her. Like, compared to what Will's done.
Mm.
Where Will's just gone out and have banging matches. Like, and that has got him over more than Monet being on commentary or doing the same promo 2 weeks in a row or announcing she's having a match in 2 months' time. It's not hugely working. And I know that there have been a lot of people who've made the comparisons to Jade Cargill and about how like Jade Cargill made her debut and she's put into this big WrestleMania program, which is true if you ignore the fact that they also put her on TV for weeks when she first signed. She was on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and did nothing. And then they took her off TV and then put her in the Royal Rumble, then took her off TV and put her here. So I thought the Jade Cargill debut on SmackDown was like about as perfect as you can get. But I don't think it is fair to compare it to the Mercedes Monet debut, considering that Monet has come in and done nothing for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I suppose with Jade, all those pre-appearances were like spots, whereas Monet is actively dragging out someone else's storyline.
Yeah.
There's also the possibility that she can't wrestle.
She's still injured
currently.
Yeah.
But then change the creative, I would say.
In that case, I would say that. I mean, it kind of brings back the Saraya debut where she was like, can I wrestle? Can I not? We don't really know. But if she is injured and is not medically cleared, say that. Say, I wish I was wrestling. I want to be wrestling at Dynasty. I want to be wrestling Chris Danner in a Dynasty, but I'm not medically cleared currently. Mm. But I will be medically cleared by Double or Nothing. And that's when I'm going to have my first match.
And do you know why I'm not cleared? It's because of you, Willow Nightingale.
Turn it as part of an angle. Because at the moment, it feels like she is medically cleared to wrestle and just isn't.
After that, however, we got just an excellent match. It was the Jacksons versus the Best Friends in the semi-final of the tag team title tournament,
the east side of the tournament.
Matt Jackson screamed into the camera, "Yo scapegoat, I love your work." Yeah. In his entrance,
shout out at the end as well, because he did the Cry Me a River line.
Did he?
To Sue when they were like doing the booby face to Sue, he was like, "Oh no, Cry Me a River." So when Jack Perry aligned with House of Torture, I messaged Tempest. I said, House of Torture are coming to AEW, and Tempest lost his mind.
Yeah. This is the sort of indirect shot at CM Punk or WWE that I don't mind.
I don't think it's a shot at CM Punk or WWE. It's a promotion of your contracted talent, Jack Perry. It is not a shot at WWE. It's your guy.
I phrased it wrong. This would be an appropriate place for the Bucks to say something off mic that's a cheeky reference to the Punk interview.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They are just promoting their own talent in Jack Perry.
But not in the opening segment of the show. So Trent's mum's at ringside with Chucky. I've written she's so getting involved. She didn't, but she was the best part of the match. And just the Jacksons awesome early on. Matt got on commentary through to a picture-in-picture ad break. He starts pointing to the area of the screen where the ad should be playing.
He got on the microphone and, you know, essentially cut Excalibur off from talking. Then he said, "Do I have to do your job for you, Excalibur? He's going to go to the picture-in-picture." And so, "Oh, that's my job."
And they had the longest Chekhov's turnbuckle. They exposed the top turnbuckle at the start of the match. And was it Rick Knox? Rick Knox said, "Well, I think everything's okay here." Looking around, I don't know what accent that was. I was trying to do Bill Burr's dumb guy accent and it just turned into Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, it sounded like one of the bullets from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. "I think he went that away."
And
it's Back to the Future.
I wasn't trying to do, I don't even know what Rick Knox sounds like. I feel like he just squeaks like basketball court shoes. And there's a really good match. Of course it is. Casty gets a hot tag. They overcome him. The best friends hit their own TK driver, a minivan driver. I said that should
very
be
good.
Called. Then Matt super kicks Chucky on the outside and goes to super kick Sue's mum, super kick, and stops. And the crowd lose their minds. They are outright outraged. Great heel heat.
Yeah.
And then the crowd was already into it. That spot just ramped everybody up.
Yeah. I thought this was awesome. This was a proper PWG tag match, which would make sense given, you know, the lads that are in the ring. And I thought they all four of them worked so brilliantly together. And it was captivating to watch, particularly like once that Sue thing happened. And it made me think, I thought all the while through this, the Bucks are getting to the finals. But they made me think that they were getting eliminated here and best friends were going to win. They did some great near falls.
Well, one of the stories, and it was even in their Titantron when they came out, was can Trent win the big one?
Yeah.
He always falls short. So after that spot, Trent's down. His mum kisses him on the cheek through the ropes. Lovely moment. Trent fires up.
It's like spinach to Popeye.
But then he runs into the exposed turnbuckle.
Gets catapulted into it.
Yeah. One of the Jacksons hooks the tights as well for extra heel points. And Trent loses. Jacksons advance. They gloat away. And then Trent looks... I thought his acting here was superb. He looks so pissed off, disappointed at himself in equal measure. And Chucky's like, "Come on, let's do the best friends hug." They all stand up. And I'm like, it's coming. I know it's coming. But when it happened, it still shocked me. Trent just kept running, didn't hug, and hit Orange Cassidy with a knee.
Yeah. I thought it was a great turn.
Really good.
Really, really good. And I thought Chucky's selling of it was so unique. And like a lot of people would oversell it, but Chucky's expression was more like a sad cat. That's
I would have preferred a bit more of something, because I was like, was Chucky in on it? Because he is not reacting in any way.
And it was, and that's kind of what I enjoyed about it, is that I don't really know what Chucky's read of this situation is, because Chucky's not a dumb guy and he's known Trent for so long that he must have felt that something like this was going to happen. And so he couldn't fully process it in that moment. So I thought that's certainly interesting. Perhaps I'm putting too much onto that. And that is entirely possible. But I thought then Excalibur had a great line where he walks past Trent. He's like, he's walked past Trent. And he walks past the down body of Orange Cassidy. He's like, he's abandoned Orange Cassidy. And then he walks past and he's like, he walks past Sue.
His own mum. Really good angle. And looking forward to the potential of a heel Trent.
Yeah.
I am.
I am, but...
I don't care if you're not, I am.
I don't know why, and this might be harsh. Him turning heel and spinning away from a group has got mad Scorpio Sky energy.
That's unfair, man. Mariah May took on Thunder Rosa next. Rankings are the reason why.
For this match.
Yeah. Mariah May was number 2 because she's undefeated. Mm-hmm. Thunder Rosa's number 1, whatever.
Which is also undefeated.
Yeah. Rankings. Why are they here? And it was an okay match. Crowd, not much heat for it at all, I would say. The best thing as usual was Toni Storm on commentary. She had one great line. Well, she had a few. Mariah May reminds me of a young Toni Storm. That's just funny in itself. Thunder Rosa reminds me of an older Thunder Rosa.
At the start of the match, she sat down and she was like, "Oh, Mr. Chavone, I hear that you lost your dog this week." And Tony's like, "Oh, thank you so much." And she goes, "But it's okay because Thunder Rosa's here now."
We can look at Thunder Rosa instead, yeah.
There was a moment when Thunder Rosa like had Mariah May beaten up on the outside and she's mouthing off at Tony Storm and Tony just goes, oh, piss off.
Mayday got reversed into a backstabber and a Tijuana bomb for Thunder Rosa to win. And Tony had a really good, Tony Storm, not Tony Schiavone, great blank shock face afterwards. Yeah. That's what I want from Chucky. And yeah. When Thunder Rosa went to shout at her, I'm coming for your title, we got the color divide. Mm-hmm. I'm a simple man. That I pop so hard whenever that happens.
They've got a little like transition into it as well, which I think is a nice touch. But yeah, I thought Storm's selling of this was really good. She, you know, throughout the match was like, oh, come on, Mariah, get up now. And now she's like, oh, I really thought Mariah was going to win this match and she didn't. And now I've got to face the person I actually didn't want to face.
Penta and Simon. It's because he says Penta says. backstage, and they challenge Copeland for the TNT title on next week's Dynamite. Penta will face Commander this Saturday on Collision. And then I would probably say the best thing on the episode was the main event segment, although I love the tag match and the turn at the end. But this match, I just cannot wait for them to have the actual match. So it's a contract signing, Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. We've seen 100 contract signings of very varying qualities. Now, very difficult, I would say, to do something new and get it right. And they somehow managed it. Joe signs first and he explains to Swerve in rapper terms that he's going to beat him down so hard it's going to leave him mentally scarred, like he left Diddy's party too late. Damn.
I don't know what that's in reference to.
So P. Diddy is accused of a lot of sexual assault. Really quite full-on stuff. And the parties were...
Oh dear.
Yeah.
That is a big thing. I mean, the crowd reacted huge to it.
And you're there like, oh man, did his parties sound fun?
No,
is it because he left, he stayed and it was awkward?
My first thought was like, that's something I have to Google now. I didn't get around to.
Swerve called Joe a bitch.
Of course he did.
And Joe pushed him and Swerve swung, but Joe got the better of it because you cannot get a chain around his neck.
I thought Swerve's promo was not to talk over it, but was so good. Very impassioned of like, this is my dream. Like, this is what I've... And I never thought I'd get to this opportunity here.
The delivery is great. The content for me, it's not what I care about with Swerve's character, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and that's fair.
I'm not taking away from anyone else. And there's only so many times I can hear baby faces on AEW say, we've got Will Ospreay, we've got Okada, we've got Mercedes Moné. I don't want him being a spokesperson. A lot of my appeal towards Swerve is that he's an anti-hero.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
The crowd started chanting for MJF.
Well, yeah, it's because he was talking about, like, you know, we're building a dynasty here. And, yeah, the crowd were trying for MJF. Like, both of them were super over. Crowd was super into Joe, super into Swerve. To the point where, like, when Joe was talking, the crowd were chanting Swerve over him. When Swerve was talking, people were chanting Joe over him. So, yeah, both guys were just mega over.
Joe got the chain, Swerve's chain, wrapped around his fist and beat the hell out of Swerve. And Swerve's selling was just awesome for this. He does a blade job and he's bleeding. And Joe's walking off. He's all cocky. And Swerve, covered in blood, gets the mic and he just starts laughing. And he says, I love this S. Mm-hmm. And he wipes the pen in his own blood on his forehead and he signs the contract. Cuts back to Joe. And he looks scared and angry at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was such a good visual. And Joe like ran down there, put Swerve through the table. And then the show just ended. Yeah. It's like, what?
And Joe's reaction to this was still, it was scared and angry of like, oh, I've got to do a lot to put this guy down.
And it's this fight of, well, Joe can dish out the worst punishments, but Swerve can take the worst punishments.
The Hangman feud has almost powered him up.
I love that ending. I thought it was such a great angle at the end. Overall, though, I did give this 73%. Which is one of the lower scores I've ever given Dynamite. Still, you know, 3.5 out of 5.
I think I'd have probably gone slightly higher. I think I would have scored this a 4 out of 5. I loved the Will Ospreay match. I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant match. The tag match I thought was great. And I love that main event angle.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's say a big thank you to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon.
Have we got them?
Yes, we do.
They're updated. Lovely.
Mod Mother Jenna told us earlier.
Well done. Love this.
Thank you very much. The Balding Brummy, Brett Linforth.
$100 Man, CD Horver.
Shield Maiden, The Zornice.
Big Jiggy, Josh Martin.
Double L, Liam Leonard.
The Pinnacle of Success, Luke Kelly.
Abominable, Michael Abbott.
Ryan Disco, Stewart.
Where there's a will. There's a Will Campbell.
The Machine Gun, Alex Anderson.
The Roller Coaster, Robert Acosta.
The Magic Man, Barry Blaine. And that is your Hall of Fame class for Thursday, the 4th of April, 2024. Head on over to patreon.com/rusttalk for loads of cool and exclusive content like early access to the Monday Night War, the booking podcast that we do over there, exclusive episodes of Survival Series, and Ollie and I's deep dive into the year 2014, where we're talking about the breakup of the Shield. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 of that are currently available. Episode 4 is out this month.
And if you're not done with your punk news, episode 1 of that is the time when punk walked out of the company following the 2014 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, 2014 Royal Rumble was our first episode, and yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. And actually, if you go into the archives, last year did an episode on Survivor Series 2014, which is when Punk did the Art of Wrestling podcast.
So patreon.com/wrestletalk. Last call for Omega Chats. wrestletalk.com/support. Yes. Uncle Vince says, the punk decline is sad. He's a bitter, angry, hypocritical husk of his old self, operating entirely contrary to the punk spirit of yesteryear. The joking about committing physical assault, Cabana, and his views on downside guarantees makes me nauseous.
Yeah, the Cabana thing was, I think, quite unfortunate in that. I mean, putting all of the blame of this. But he said the whole thing is Cabana's fault.
Feels a bit corporate punk, doesn't it? Justin Anzaludia, Manberg for 32 months. Maybe AEW needed to respond. Maybe they didn't. All I know is I'm hyped to hear MJF's first promo when he returns.
MJF taking a Twitter sabbatical only to put his first tweet out the week of WrestleMania and reference The Rock is peak MJF. It's such good MJF troll work.
Booking like a mark. Alternate take on Copeland's promo. It's WrestleMania week, when casuals return. Maybe AEW started the show with someone from last year's Mania, giving this speech as a mission statement to introduce AEW just like promoters run shows during Mania week. If anything, I'm afraid the numbers don't lie here, to steal a line from your friend. I'd be very surprised if any casuals or new viewers are watching AEW right now.
I agree. I think if there are casuals returning, they're watching WWE.
CK says, sorry for misunderstanding your point. I'm just incredibly tired of some, but not all wrestling fans being so incredibly negative, rude, and yes, tribal. Constructive criticism is great, and please just enjoy wrestling. However, WTF was the Billy Gunn match.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's good constructive criticism to give to that Billy Gunn match. Don't do it.
Yeah. We are very tribalistic against the Billy Gunn match.
That is the only thing I will be tribalistic about.
Who's on the other side of that?
Billy Gunn.
Chris James Lilly says, hey guys, I agree with the content of what Adam says. The wrestling is super hot and it doesn't matter what you watch, but I don't understand the need to respond at all, especially with someone who wasn't even there during the punk stuff to claim it was all BS. Because Adam was actually still in WWE at the time, and to me, knowing that makes his comments feel very scripted, like he's TK's avatar saying what TK would say if he actually went out there instead. Did you see Dax's promo after Collision was filmed? Feels like overkill. And lastly, I kind of highlight some if punk points as if roles were reversed. I can't see WWE having Seth or Cody cut a promo responding to an ex-WWE star who might say things they don't like wrong, like Ronda's activities. WWE have made no mention of them on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then again, that's because you're number one, you don't punch down, and WWE have never punched down, and you don't punch down, you don't acknowledge.
Pipe bomb superiority. Edge doesn't believe it. Putting that locker room against anyone where he wanted to retire, really? It was smart for Tony Khan to trot out a former WWE star that is loved by everyone, because now if you have anything bad to say, then it means you hate Edge.
I disagree with that. I'd actually disagree with that massively. I feel like Copeland, I get all of his interviews, everything he said in this promo is everything he said in every interview that he's done since he's left WWE and joined AEW, is I am having fun. And I know some people are like, oh, I can't say this is the best roster. Have you seen this roster? Have you seen the lineup that AEW currently has?
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, of course it's possible that Tony Khan has orchestrated all this, but I think because it's also very possible that Copeland just wanted to do this, then why not pick the nicer possibility? When you're just interpreting events.
Because you need to pick a side.
Okay. Our hot tag to you.
JP said, I was there live last night and it was a blast. Trent hitting OC with a knee broke me. I'm hoping that Chuck chooses him and we get heel best friends, hopefully as champions. Also, Penta versus Commander did moves I didn't think were possible. And also, lots of chops.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Andy Sandbox has been a member for 7 months in a row, celebrating another milestone just to reiterate that Billy Gunn should never wrestle in a singles match ever again. Please, God, I'm praying. Please.
That's why we have trios matches.
Kevin, you complain about Billy beating Jay all over the match the way he did when he did way worse. He interrupted the best entrance in wrestling. I was ready to throw my guns up. Boo this man. Also, the TBS title has a better build than the women's title. Willow is awesome.
It's the best entrance in wrestling.
Goose Egg here. I wish the Joe Swerve segment was the go home angle. It was so good. I want to see Hangman return, cost Swerve at the pay-per-view, and go on to Double or Nothing to challenge Joe. Only for Swerve try to interfere, but cost Joe by accident. Swerve chases Hangman until full gear.
I don't mind that. That sounds so repetitive, but I do not mind it.
I have seen a few people pitch that idea of Hangman returns at Double or Nothing because his whole thing is, I can't have Swerve be champion.
Yeah.
Ket here said, why can't there be a mini tournament for a number one contenders for the TBS women's title? Monet can wrestle on TV and the finals can be at the pay-per-view. Not enjoying how they're handling her since the debut. Well, Ket, it's because if you do a tournament, then people will just make fun of you for doing so many tournaments.
So there's the argument, well, you want Monet's to be on a big pay-per-view, Las Vegas, Double or Nothing. It's one of their biggest shows of the year. Which, you know, I don't agree with. I'm just saying that's an argument. Or there's she's injured, still recovering, and can't wrestle for now. We don't know.
Yeah. I know people say, like, WWE punched down on WCW. They were second place at the time. Like, and then when they were first place, you stop acknowledging them. And they've done it for the past 25 years. Don't acknowledge the competition. NS Ogre's been a member for 31 months in a row. Got tickets for next week's Battle of the Belts. No clue what's on the card, but bet it'll have good wrestling. Hope you have a fun this week. Oh, I'm very much looking forward to this weekend. Mm. Kevin said, do you think Sue is mad at the Young Bucks because they stole her former Chaos stablemate because of Chikara Kada? I like Chuck Sell of the Trent term because it looked like he knew it was coming, but hoped that he was wrong.
That's a nice interpretation.
I like that.
And oh my God, yeah, it all ties together. Trent is joining the Jacksons and the Elite.
I'd like that. That'd be really
no,
good.
I wouldn't.
Andy said, regarding Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa, I really hope they recall the last time they wrestled for the championship. Thunder Rosa absolutely kicked her ass. I recall that match being very decisive and almost one-sided. Cut Barbanius here said, I know it's off topic, but great deep dive video on The Rock. I think another pivotal moment was the failure of Southland Tales. Had it been a hit, I think The Rock's filmography would look more like Batista's. What are your thoughts?
Southland Tales is an interesting one.
We talked about this on the Raw podcast because Kurt sent this chat in then, which was, I wonder if it was a hit, he might have taken more risks, but he went instead for the safer studio options.
I very much see Rock's early film years as testing out a bit of everything. You know, unlike other career trajectories where they just do action, 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 all diminishing returns, I'll start to do some family movies. Rock was always going from action movie, family movie, adventure movie, occasional weird, not indie, but like even Doom, it's an action movie, but it's quite an experimental action movie.
Bit weird.
With just, you've got like a really long, proper Doom first person shooter.
It's also not a very good movie.
Gridiron Gang.
Dexter Fletcher's in that movie.
Gridiron Gang, it's more like serious sports movie. Like he really tried all of these things, almost A-B testing stuff. The failure of Southland Tales is an interesting one. I don't think Rock has the acting chops to be Batista. Batista's a character actor, and Rock is a star. Mm-hmm. Very different commodities at the box office.
So what they used to say about critics of Tom Cruise would say that Tom Cruise just plays Tom Cruise in movies. You just put Tom Cruise. Bruce Willis has the same thing. Bruce Willis is just Bruce Willis in action movies. The Rock is just The Rock in action movies. One of the jokes is that there are four different movies where he's wearing tan shirts and being bald in jungle settings. Whereas you're right, Batista is like, no, I want to take challenging roles that I can actually sink my teeth into and get good characters out of.
Yeah.
Caleb has been a member for 29 months in a row. Said, have y'all thought about doing a recap video for like what you need to know about upcoming pay-per-views to remind us what is happening?
I'm afraid they just don't perform that well because they require a lot of effort to make. People tend to want footage of the stuff that's being recapped, which we can't do, of course. And they date. So it'll go up for like 2 days and the pay-per-view will happen. Mm-hmm. And then that video no longer gets any views. So we have thought about it, but unfortunately.
Sure. And really, that's on the companies to make, not us. Mm-hmm. And Kevin says, my pitch for the tag titles at WrestleMania. Truth only grabs the blue belt and gives one to Miz. Miz yells that there are two titles. Judgment Day tried to reclaim the red belts, but DIY stopped them and win. So you can have a Regeneration X celebration.
Well, I'm all about DIY. Being champs.
Yeah, I've got Awesome Truth and New Catch Republic in my Wrestle League picks. Not that they're on Wrestle League, but that's why I said in the predictions video we did. Can I give you my Gunther pitch?
No.
Can I please? So this is, because I did this on Denise's, on Instant Culture yesterday, on Denise Salcedo's YouTube channel, and I didn't get this in on my predictions video because I only thought about it later. Gunther wins because Chad throws in the towel. And that's how you can still build to Chad going for Gunther. Sammy doesn't actually lose. Chad can position it of like, I was trying to save you. Sammy could be like, no, you were trying to, because you were jealous and you were trying to steal my moment away from me.
I think either that or Ram. Chad turns on champion Sammy. Mm-hmm.
We have some new members in Juan Villa. I'm not sure I can say that. Nahalani Nisbandi. I'm very sorry about that. And Jason has gifted a membership. Thank you very much. Chris said, last one, non-AW related. Have you seen the Bray doc? As a huge Bray fan, I found it very emotional and heartwarming seeing all the backstage stuff, especially with Alexa and seeing how strong Taylor was. The after credit scene gave me chills. I've not seen it. As I said in the Raw review, I'm not emotionally ready for it yet.
Yeah.
Carry me out. Here's a good way to stop toxicity. Why not start with yourself? Maybe don't have the CEO of your company up at 4 a.m. fighting with Bischoff, or your veteran wrestlers tweeting Punk's lawyer on Christmas morning, or having Max Caster's tweet BS, etc.
Yeah, that's you can't overlook some of the role that it's played.
Well, we had in the WrestleTalk magazine recently, we had like a sort of AEW, I think it was like on their fifth birthday or something. It was just like, you know, what would... The last question I was given for the magazine was, if you could give Tony Khan what a bit of advice, what would it be? And I just had a few words. Get off Twitter. And Matt here said, just one final thing on the Punk drama. Punk is on good terms with Triple H and they buried the hatchet and he seems happy in WWE, which is great, and all the best to him. I hope someday Punk, TK and the Elite can bury the hatchet and be on good terms. Positivity is important.
Yeah, well, you know, it does seem like Punk can bury the hatchet now. I never thought that was possible.
Well, if this is where the money is, yeah.
But Triple H is where business. He doesn't call it money, he calls it business. But he never hated Triple H.
He never wanted to leave. Never wanted to leave. Just had to.
Well, that's all we've got time for. What are the results of our poll for this episode?
Oh, it's low.
Is it?
It is low compared to what we've had previously. It is getting the results now. 50% thumbs up, 32% thumbs in the middle. That is our highest thumbs down we have had for an AEW show. Actually, I'd say for any wrestling show we've done this year on the podcast.
Well, you know, it's weird to say it wasn't a great show because you had the Ospreay match, you had the main event angle, you had the great tag match. But yeah, there was a lot of misses on this episode.
I think, yeah, the thumbs down is what surprises me. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Please buy a Pipe Bomb Greater Than Math t-shirt. The link is in the video description, or the mods are spamming it somewhere. And go over and watch my news episode from earlier in the day and subscribe, because we've got WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 live reactions coming for you this weekend.
full reviews of it over on the WrestleTalk News channel. Podcast reviews here on this channel. Subscribe, enable notifications, and we will see you for WrestleMania weekend. I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been Ollie Davis. Jam that jam.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.